For the past 3 weeks po, tayo ay led by Pastor Alvin, nag-Galatians series po tayo. And paulit-ulit po na tema ng Galatians ay grace. Salvation by grace, justification by faith alone. Yan po ang sinulat ni Paul sa Galatian Church to remind them yung danger ng false gospel, na sila ay manatili sa doctrine ng grace. And yet, madalas po sa atin na kailangan din po natin ng ganung reminder. Hindi lang po yun sa Galatian Church, maaring ngayon din po kailangan nating ma-remind. Ano po ba talaga ang grace? I think most of you, pag tinanong ko, what is grace? Marami sa inyo, o maybe lahat kayo, will answer with confidence, it is the unmerited favor of God. Kasi sinabi ni Pastor last ano yun. Undeserved love, undeserved kindness of God. We all know that. Marami sa atin ay so familiar sa mga salitang ito, and many of us walang clear understanding dito. Marami sa atin, we profess na we are undeserving sa grace ng Panginoon. Pero We have little understanding gaano ba talaga tayo ka-undeserving. Paano ba natin naiintindihan ang salitang undeserve, undeserving? When we sing ang hymn ng Amazing Grace, is it really amazing ba sa atin? Do we really understand ba paano naging amazing ang grace, ang love ng Panginoon? Today, mag-break muna po tayo sa Galatian series. Punta muna po tayo sa Old Testament. Pero we will stay in the same message ng grace and grace alone. Kung sa book ng Galatians, piniliwanag ni Paul ang Gospel of Grace, dito sa passage natin, idedemo sa atin, ano ba ang grace? Para sa akin, this is one of the greatest love story na nabasa ko sa Bible. Every true believer ay mauhulog ang puso sa istorya na to. Ang short narrative na ito sa life ni David will help you see a bigger picture. Itong kwento na to is a picture of God's gracious redemption of His people. At yan ay makikita natin sa ating passage na binasa ni Cheryl kanina, 2 Samuel chapter 9. Please buksan niyo po yung Bible niyo sa 2 Samuel chapter 9. Now, before tayo pumunta sa ating story, let me give you some ang ating context. Saul was the first king ng Israel. He hate David. Galit na galit kay David because of jealousy and threats sa kingship ni Saul. Maraming beses na tinangkang patayin ni Saul si David. Around 7 times yata. At ang gustong next king ni Saul ay ang anak niyang si Jonathan. But the Lord chose, anoint David as the next king. Si Jonathan, siya ang crown prince dito. Next in line kay Saul, best friend ni David. More than brothers ang turingan nila. And sa mga time na to, David was running away and hiding from Saul ng mahabang panahon. 16, 17 years, 20 years. Now in 2 Samuel chapter 1, namatay si King Saul and Jonathan at dalawa niya pang kapatid. Chapter 2, naging king si David ng tribe of Judah. And the rest ng tribe ng Israel, si Ish-bosheth ang king. Siya ay anak din ni Saul. Chapter 3, nagkaroon ng civil war between the house of Saul o yung angkan. When we talk about house of Saul, house of David, ito yung lahi nila. Sabi sa verse 1, nagkaroon ng long war. And the house of David grew stronger and stronger, while the house of Saul became weaker and weaker. Yun ang sabi sa verse 1. Chapter 4, dito na yung tragic end ng house of Saul. Dito na pinatay si Ish-bosheth, yung anak ni Saul. Naging king na ng buong Israel si David. Chapter 5, dito yung dalawang significant victories ni David. Na-conquer ni David ang Jerusalem. Ito ang Kapitolyo ni ng kingdom ni David at tinawag itong the city of David. And second, ano rito, tinalo ni David ang isa sa old enemy ng Israel, lang mga Philistine. Alala niyo si Goliath, he's a Philistine. Chapter 6, naibalik na ang Ark of Covenant. Ito'y napakahalaga sa mga Israel. Nung si Moses, alis sila, nang wala ang presensya ng Panginoon, ayaw nila. Mas mahalaga sa kanila ang presensya ng Panginoon. So, chapter 7, na-secure na ni David yung mga border ng Israel and halos lahat ng kalaban ng Israel ay tinalo na niya. Dito din binigay ang great promise ni God kay David. Ito yung tinatawag na Davidic Covenant. That God will establish ang kingdom ni David forever. Chapter 8, ito na ang peak ng tagumpay o katanyagan ni David. God bless David sa lahat ng military battle niya. Victory after victory after victory. Sabi sa verse 6, and the Lord gave victory to David wherever he went. Kahit saan siya magpunta. Nangyari ang lahat ng ito in many years. Hindi ito nangyari ng ilang buwan lang. Years. And after a long series ng war and battles, na everything sa Israel ay settled na. In order. Mapayapa. United na ang buong Israel, lumawak ang teritory nila, ang mga kalaban ay nag-bow down sa kanila, and naging subject ng law ng Israel. Naging ganito ka-powerful ang Israel. David is the greatest king ng Israel. So, sa context natin ito, David is the undisputed king ng Israel. Ito ang golden years sa buhay ni David. Itong 2 Samuel na to, 1 to 10, ito ang peak ng karir ni David. We can say na he have everything sa stage ng life niya na to. We can say wala siyang need sa mga panahon na to. And then punta tayo sa ating passage na 2 Samuel chapter 9. The great and mighty King David sitting on his throne. Try to picture niyo to. After ng maraming battle, after ng maraming tagumpay, lahat, prosperity, blessings, nakaupo siya sa throne niya, sa palasyo niya. Enjoying all the blessings ng Panginoon sa kanyang kingdom. Enjoying his fellowship with God. Very zealous si David sa panahon na to. Now, David is looking for someone to show the loving kindness of God. Meron siyang hinahanap sa mga panahon na to. And David chose to display ang love na ito sa isang tao na walang kakayanang ng suklian ang kanyang kindness. Sa isang tao who deserved nothing from King David. And yan din po ang main point ng aking sermon. God's amazing grace is not for amazing people, but for fallen people who don't deserve it. Again, God's amazing grace is not for amazing people, but for fallen people who don't deserve it. I divided ang passage natin into three headings. Number one, by grace, lost sinners are found. Verses 1 to 5. Number 2, by grace, fallen sinners are restored. Verses 6 to 10. Number 3, by grace, enemies become children of God. Verses 11 to 13. Let's go to point number 1. By grace, lost sinners are found. So King David, sitting on his throne, enjoying a blessing, prosperity from God, is searching for someone to show his loving kindness. Ang normal practice in those days, kapag may new dynasty, may bagong king, the new king will order to massacre or wipe out ang lahat ng family or angkan ng previous dynasty, ang previous family na yun. Hanggang baby, ipapapatay ng bagong king. Yan po ang practice nung time na ito. Makikita nyo yan sa 1 and 2 Kings. But here, David did the opposite. Look at verse 1. And David said, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" One of the important na word dito is the word kindness. Paulit-ulit po ito. 3 times ito na banggit sa passage natin. Verse 1, verse 7, verse 13. In Hebrew, ang ibig sabihin, ang word na ito ay hesed. Hindi po siya kayang i-translate into a single word. Even mga scholar, hindi nila matranslate ito. Iba-ibang ginagamit ng English word para sa hesed. Some translation ito ay loving kindness. Sa Psalms, makikita nyo yan. Steadfast love, loyal love, faithful love, covenant love, mercy. Or katumbas sa New Testament ay grace or undeserved love. Walang single word translation, but I believe na ang common dito is the idea nung covenant. Ito yung idea ng hesed. Covenant mercy, covenant love, covenant kindness. Here, naalala ni David ang covenant niya around 20 years ago. Meron siyang ginawang covenant. Covenant niya kanino? Balikan natin yung verse 1. And David said, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Para kay Jonathan. Sino ba si Jonathan na banggit natin? Si Jonathan ay ang anak ni Saul. Crown prince. Siya ang potential next king. Siya ang pinapupusuan ni Saul na maging king. But Jonathan, siya ay godly man. He feared God. Na-recognize niya na si David is God's anointed king. He even risked his own life para kay David, to protect David. Maraming pangyayari na pinrotektahan niya si David from his father, Saul. Kaya nagalit si Saul sa mismo kay Jonathan. Tignan niyo sa 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 4. Jonathan gave his robe, yung armor niya, yung sword niya, yung bow, yung belt, kay David. Ito ay damit at weapon ng isang royal son. And it signifies Jonathan's loyalty kay David and recognition of David as God's anointed king. Simbolo ito that Jonathan is handing over yung throne kay David. Tignan natin ang covenant nila sa 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 14 to 17. Verse 14, "If I'm still alive," that's Jonathan, "show me the hesed, steadfast love of the Lord, that I may not die. And do not cut off your hesed, steadfast love, from my house forever. When the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." And Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord take vengeance on David's enemies." And Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Ang sinasabi ni Jonathan dito, "David, promise mo sa akin na when you become a king, huwag mo akong papatayin. Promise mo sa akin na you will show hesed, loving kindness sa pamilya ko." So after many years, hindi kinalimutan ni David ang covenant promise niya sa taong nag-protect sa kanya, who loved him more than his soul, sabi sa passage. And he wants to honor ang covenant na to. Let's have some life principle dito. Tayo mga Kristiyano, we are covenant people. We should be people who extend ang kindness ng Panginoon. We should be people marked with faithfulness, loyalty, and who honors our promises or covenant sa ibang tao. Ito man ay sa ating marriage covenant. Mahalin kita sa hirap at ginhawa, do it. Ito man ay work-related covenant, i-honor mo yan. Promises sa ating mga anak, sa ating magulang, sa ating mga kaibigan, sa ating church covenant, let's honor that. Be true to your word. Let's express gratitude sa iba pa for their love and help and support na natanggap nila natin sa kanila. We can express it in many ways. Maybe you received ng spiritual encouragement from others, mentorship, someone spent time with you, discipleship. Do the same to others. Maybe nakatanggap ka ng emotional support, look for someone to do the same. Maybe you received financial help from others. Try to help others na in need din financially if you are able. Kung nag-benefit ka sa prayer ng pamilya mo, kaibigan mo, kapatid mo, ask them, "How can I pray for you?" and remember them sa iyong prayer. Someone witness ng gospel sa iyo, love someone else by sharing Christ to others. Don't be passive, be proactive. Look for someone to help and show kindness. Look around sa mga katabi mo. Maybe there is someone na needs your help, na you can help. Hanapin mo siya. Huwag kang tayong magre-respond lang. Ano? Yan ang ginawa ni David. Hinanap niya ang anak ni Jonathan. Hindi niya inantay na lumapit sa kanya at humingi ng tulong. Nag-effort si David to look for someone na anak ni Jonathan. And nagbunga naman ang paghahanap ni David. Tingnan niyo sa verse 2 and 3. Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And they called him David. And they called him to David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." And the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness has said of God to him?" Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet." Makikita natin dito na si David is searching for this man, not because for something to benefit and add kay David. Nasa peak siya ng karir niya. Si David ay walang pangangailangan dito sa mga panahon na to. David is driven with his steadfast love towards Jonathan and his faithfulness to honor his covenant kay Jonathan and to extend the kindness of God. In verse 3, hindi maganda ang response ni Ziba dito. He didn't mention ang name ni Jonathan, ng anak ni Jonathan. He described him as crippled in his feet. Sinasabi ni Ziba dito, King David, merong isang anak si Jonathan. Pero walang pakinabang sa'yo yun. Pabigat lang sa'yo yun. Hindi deserving yung tao na yun sa kindness ng king. Walang kayang gawin para sa'yo yun. Crippled yun. Malalaman nyo kung anong klaseng tao si Ziba as you read further sa story nila sa chapter 16 ng 2 Samuel and then chapter 19. So, makikita nyo yung sumunod na mga eksena pa nila ni Mephibosheth. Tignan nyo naging response ni David kay Ziba. Hindi niya tinanong gaano kagrabe ang kapansanan ng anak ni Jonathan. Hindi na nagtanong ng additional details si David tungkol sa kanyang kalagayan. Look at David's response of verse 4. The king said to him, "Where is he? Asan siya? I want to show my covenant love sa tao na to and extend ang loving kindness ng Diyos for the sake of Jonathan." Sinasabi ni David, "I don't care kung ano man ang kalagayan niya. I don't care kung maging pabigat siya sa akin. I don't care kung wala siyang maitutulong sa akin. Where is he? I want to shower him with love and kindness because of my covenant love with Jonathan." And Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lodebar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lodebar. Up to here, we have few description sa taong ito na hinahanap ni David. Sabi sa verse 3, he was crippled in both feet. Bakit siya naging crippled? Makikita natin yan sa 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. Ang sabi doon, "Jonathan, the son of Saul, had a son who was crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came to Jezreel." Ito yung namatay na sila sa Mount Gilboa, sa Jezreel. "And his nurse took him up and fled. And as she fled in her haste, he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth." Tinakas siya ng nurse niya kasi nga namatay na yung king, may bagong king. Ang practice noon, wipe out ang previous family. So tumakbo, nalaglag, and that fall, yun ang naging sanhi ng ang kapansanan ni Mephibosheth. Dahil nga, yun yung practice, so yun ang nangyari kay Mephibosheth. Ang meaning ng Mephibosheth Sorry po, medyo hindi ko po ito mapopronounce perfectly ng as I go sa sermon. Bear with me. Ang meaning ng Mephibosheth ay shameful. Shameful thing. Sabi sa verse 4, he was in Lodebar. Lodebar in Hebrew means no pasture, lo, no. Debar, pasture. Ito ay barren land, land of nowhere. No future. I remember nung bago pa lang ako dito sa UA, mga around 2009, pinadadala ako ng company ko sa Hata area. Merong part of Huaylat, and then pangalan nun is Wadi Al-Helo. Pangalan ng lugar, ang ganda ng pangalan. And then merong small village na siguro mga 4-5 villa. And then yun ang question ko, sino ba titira dito sa lugar na to? Paano nabubuhay ang tao dito? Nung binabasa ko ito, yun ang naaalala ko, yung Wadi Al-Helo, Lodebar. So, yun po yung description nito. Barren, no hope, no future, parang napakalungkot na lugar. Alam niyo, parang western movie na gumugulong yung mga damo, na gano'n lang. So, ito po ang anong tinitirahan ni Mephibosheth. Ito ang condition niya, and makikita natin ang mga naging, ang sanhi ng kapalaran ni Mephibosheth. Isa-isayin po natin. The fall of kingdom ni Saul dahil sa rebellion niya sa Diyos. The fall ni Mephibosheth sa kamay ng kanyang nurse, kaya siya naging crippled. It changes everything sa life ni Mephibosheth. Try to put yourself sa tao na to. Ang bata na to was a prince. Anak siya ni Jonathan. The boy with the royal blood and a potential future king who live in a palace and enjoy all the benefits ng isang royal family. And he lost everything at the age of 5. He lost his dad. He became crippled. Wala siyang sariling bahay. Nakikitira lang siya kay mother. Live in a land with no pasture, na parang sa Walking Dead. He lost his identity. He lost the respect ng tao. He lost inheritance. All the benefits of a royal family ay wala na. No hope si Mephibosheth. And wala siyang kakayanan to change ang kanyang condition. He is at the mercy ng iba. He is at the mercy ni Maker. Wala siyang pamilya, wala siyang bahay, wala siyang property, wala siyang kakayanan. And that time, pag ikaw ay crippled, wala kang opportunity, hindi ka makakapagtrabaho. Beggars ka lang. So, ganyan na po naging kababa ang buhay from royal blood, from royal family, naging nakatira sa Lodebar. And because of the blood of Saul, he become enemy of the state. Remember, ito yung ano natin, a new king, kailangan patayin niya ang family ng dating king. Si Mephibosheth ay anak nasa bloodline ni Saul. Because of that blood, automatic, he is the enemy of the state. He is the enemy of the king, and he must die. At this time, may mga nasa early 20s na si Mephibosheth, maybe 22, sabi dun sa ibang commentary. So, since age 5, for many years, he was a fugitive. Alam niyo yung fugitive? Takas, tumatakbo sa batas, hiding in nowhere land, and living in shame and continuous fear. Tignan natin yung action ni David. And let's see itong part na to sa lenses ng story ng redemption. David searched for his enemy, Mephibosheth, because of the overflowing kindness of God sa buhay niya. He wants to extend the grace, kindness ng Diyos. That is because of David's character. Walang nag-influence sa kanya. That is his character. I want to show kindness. Because of who he is. Walang outside influence for him na to do this. And second, David wants to show loving kindness to Mephibosheth for the sake of someone else, not for his sake. So two things po yun. Alam ko, nakaraan ako ng magandang feedback kay Pastor Alvin about sa CG. Sabi niya, very maganda yung feedback, maganda yung naging interaction. And kung matagal ka ng Kristiyano, sa unang basa mo pa lang, alam mo na eh, parang, wow, ito yung picture na. That is the gospel. Di ba? Sa CG natin, mayroong mga passage, nahihirapan tayo ng Christ connection. Experience nyo na ba yan? Sa CG namin, madalas kong tanong ngayon, nahihirapan ba kayo hanapin ng Christ connection? But here, straightforward, parang parallel lang istorya. Yun po ang ito. Sometimes, ako si David dito. Ako si Jonathan dito. But I want you to see, we are all Mephibosheth. Because of the fall of our first father in Genesis 3, dahil sa rebellion ng ating first parents, I hope kilala nyo sila, si Adam and Eve yon, they rebel against God dahil sa kanilang kasalanan. Ano po ang naging resulta? We lost everything. We lost the garden. We lost our relationship with our Father in heaven. We lost our identity. We are now enemy of God. Yan ang sabi ng Bible. We are all children of wrath. We lost our inheritance. We become partaker sa kasalanan na yan. We become rebellious sinner. I hope nakikita natin yan. We are Mephibosheth sa story na to. Look at Genesis 3, 9 to 10. After ng sin, bumaba si God. Hinanap niya sila Adam and Eve. Sabi rin sa verses, Genesis 3, 9 to 10, "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself.'" Just like Adam and Eve, just like the first sinner, kung anong ginawa nila nung nagkasala sila, they run away from God. They hide from God. Lahat tayo tumatakbo palayo sa Diyos. Si Adam and Eve, naramdaman nila yung shame. Sabi, "I was afraid," nagkaroon ng fear na dating loving relationship. They fear God because yung guilt ng sin, shame, yan pong resulta ng sin. Kahit sa ngayon, yan pong magiging resulta ng sin sa inyo. You will hide. You will run away from the church. Yan po ang naging resulta. Ayaw na nating hanapin ng Diyos. We are constantly running away from God. And yan din po ang sinabi sa Romans 3, 10 to 11. No one is righteous dahil sa fall. No, not one. Wala pong kahit isa. No one understands. No one seeks for God. Walang naghahanap sa Diyos. But thank God, siya ay faithful sa kanyang salita. In the same chapter, Genesis 3:15, God made a promise. Ito ang unang gospel promise sa Bible. Sabi doon sa Genesis 3:15, "Someone will come from the seed of the woman." Anong gagawin ng seed of the woman na yan? "To crush the head of the serpent," the devil, Satan, "and his offspring." Itong seed of the woman na to will crush the devil at lahat ng bunga ng kasalanan. And when we read the Bible, basahin po natin sa big picture, we always look dun sa seed na yon. Yan po ang ginagawa ng mga Old Testament people. They're waiting dun sa seed na yon, the Messiah, the promised one. It's helpful po pagka ganun natin tignan ang pagbabasa ng Bible. So, yung seed na yon, ang sabi doon, he will crush. So, lalaki po yan. Yung seed ng woman, he will crush the head of the serpent. Ang sabi ng mga scholar doon, yung crush the head of the serpent is a deadly blow. Deadly blow. Final. One punch. Knockout. Yun po ang gagawin ng seed na to. And as you go through sa Bible na to, as you follow yung seed na yon from Old Testament hanggang sa makarating tayo sa New Testament, makikita po natin, it points to Jesus. Ang seed na yan ay si Jesus Christ. We have a greater David, a greater Jonathan, a greater sa anumang sinumang character ng Old Testament. So, God showed His loving kindness sa atin in the person of Jesus Christ. Ito ang sinabi ng, parang ganito yung sinabi ng Diyos. Is there anyone left of the house of Adam so that I can show, has said, loving kindness for the sake of my son, Jesus Christ? God pursued us not because of anything good sa atin, but because of His steadfast love of His Son, Jesus. Meron tinatawag na covenant redemption from the eternity. Nagkaroon ng covenant, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Ito yung covenant na yan. God the Father loved the Son from eternity. Ito po ay grace ng Panginoon. Sabi sa Luke 19:10, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Ito po nangyari kay Mephibosheth. Hinanap siya ng king. At makikita natin sa second point, siya ay isisave ng king. Second point po tayo, by grace, fallen sinners are restored. Verses 6 to 10. Let's continue sa ating story. So, pinadala ni David ang mga sundalo niya to bring Mephibosheth kay David. Try to picture yung nangyayari dito. For many years, ang buhay ni Mephibosheth is continuous living in fear, shame, hiding, running away, though he's crippled. For many years, Mephibosheth was hiding sa Lodibar, living in fear every day. Iniisip niya na baka one day dumating na ang kinatatakutan kong araw. Ang mahulog sa mga kamay ni King David. Habang papalapit ang mga sundalo with their horses, na-imagine ko yung mga movie na ano, isa sa favorite movie ko yung Braveheart. So, yung mga yabag ng kabayo, yung malalaking tao, yung ano. And we all know na he's in Lodibar na walang masyadong tao ron. So, from far, maririnig ni Mephibosheth yun. Parang, naku, ito na yung kinakatakutan ko. Ito na yung for 15 years ng life niya, mukhang mangyayari na ang kinakatakot niya. So, try to imagine, meron ang kumatok sa pinto. And siguro kung may kasama sa bahay, sabihin mo, wala ako. Sabihin mo, matagal na ako nasa abroad. Sabihin mo, sa Dubai na ako, hindi na ako mahanap. Siguro, yun yung fear ng ano, hindi mo alam gagawin mo. But because of his helpless na condition, yung wala siyang magawa. And that time, yung mga time na yan, pag tinawag ka ng king, sa ayaw at sa gusto mo, sasama ka. Hindi ka binibigyan ng option. Ang sasabihin lang sa'yo, pinapatawag ka ng king. Yan po ang sinabi ng mga sundalo kay Mephibosheth. And dumating nga siya sa court ni David, sa look at verse 6. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, Mephibosheth. Stop muna po tayo doon. Imagine ninyo rito, nakadapa si Mephibosheth. Sabi dyan, he paid homage. Dito parang, ang pakiramdam ni Mephibosheth dito ay magkaka-heart attack na siya. He knows David is a mighty warrior. And he knows kung ano ang mga ginawa ni David sa kaaway niya. Nung pinatay si Ishbosheth at Pumunta kay David, binigay yung ulo ni Ishbosheth, anak ni Saul. Nagalit si David. Pinugutan niya ng ulo yung dalawa na yan. Ganun kano si David. So, alam ni Mephibosheth how strong, how mighty, how talagang ano si David sanay sa war, sa pakikipaglaban, and ang puso niya sanay na rin pumatay. So, ito na yung moment na ayaw niya mangyari. Humarap kay David sa palasyo ni David. So, nakadapa siya rito, and Mephibosheth knows na ang buhay niya ay nasa isang salita lang ni David. Isang utos lang ni David sa sundalo niya, on the spot, papatayin si Mephibosheth. He was expecting na ng death dito. Siguro, baka nag-iisip na siya, ano kayong sabihin ko? Magmamakaawa ako, maawa ka sa akin, pilay ako, maawa ka, wala akong kasalanan, lolo ko yun. Pwede yun ang ano niya, just to save yourself. Inaantay na lang niya yung pagbagsak ng sword sa leeg niya. Yun na lang inaantay niya rito. Pero the moment na nagsalita si David, nakakita siya ng hope dito. Ang tone ni David dito sa verse 6 is a loving tone. Hindi ito galit, hindi ito, no? It's a loving tone. Kasi makikita natin ano ba ang motibo niya, bakit niya hinanap si Mephibosheth? To show my hesed. To extend yung hesed ng Panginoon. So, ano natin dito na loving ito. Alam mo yun, parang kaya nating basahin eh. Halimbawa, asawa ko naiinis sa akin. Tatawagin ako niyan sa buong pangalan ko. Minsan, yung nickname ko, Eric Boy! Eric Boy po kasi yung palayo ko sa... Ganun niyo po ako tatawagan. So, alam ko na yun. Ah, naku, pataya sa asawa ko. So, ganun po, ganun to. Nung nakadapa si Mephibosheth at nagsalita si David, Mephibosheth, para siyang nagkaroon ng altika. I'm expecting ng naspada ni David dito ah. Mephibosheth. Remember sa point 1, yung nga po ang goal ni David dito is to show kindness. And notice also something na nung si Ziba ang kausap ni David, ang ginagawa ng writer ng Samuel, he addressed David as King David. Ziba talked to King David, said to Ziba, King David, King David. Pero nung si Mephibosheth na, naging David na lang. Something to observation na nawala yung malaking gap between the king, the mighty king, and kasi say servant. Meron ng touch ng personal relationship. Ang sabi ron, and David said, Mephibosheth. Hindi ko alam paano, lambingan eh. Mephibosheth. Instead na magbigay ng alibay, magmakaawa si Mephibosheth, he answered, behold, I am your servant. Ang sagot ni Mephibosheth dito na, behold, I am your servant, ay sagot ng isang total surrender. Submission na mayroong trust. Because the king graciously and lovingly called him by his name. Wala nang nakakakilala kay Mephibosheth. Si Ziba nga, hindi na siya tinatawag sa pangalan niya. Remember yung condition ni Mephibosheth. And tinawag ka ng isang great king na nag-conquer sa lahat ng kalaban ng Israel by your name with a loving voice. Let me compose my... King David is establishing a relationship here, a connection with this man. Kasi alam niya ang nararamdaman ni Mephibosheth. Alam niya sa body language yung fear na nararamdaman niya. Makikita niyo dito, the king is the initiator ng grace. And Mephibosheth respond in humility sa grace ng king. So si Mephibosheth na halos buong buhay niya running away and hiding from King David, nabubuhay in continuous fear and shame. No hope, no future, no inheritance. Nothing he can do to change his condition. Suddenly, see a ray of hope. Look at verse 7. And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you." Do not fear, for I will show you kindness. For the sake of your father, Jonathan. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always. Malamang may pabusyat ay overwhelmed na sa emotion niya. Hindi niya alam, hindi niya naintindihan. For longest time, he feared David. He was hiding from David. He hated David. Probably he blamed David dahil sa nangyari sa kapalaran niya. And then he heard this. Do not fear. Friends, maybe you are in the same situation ni Mephibosheth ngayon. All your life, you are hiding and living in fear dahil sa guilt ng kasalanan mo. You are living in shame. You think na hopeless ka na. You feel na sobrang dami ng kasalanan mo na hindi na kayang patawarin ng Diyos. Maybe sinisisi mo na ang Diyos dahil sa nangyayari sa buhay mo. You need to hear this. Do not fear. All your guilt, all your shame, all your fear, all your brokenness, all your sins. Jesus paid it all on the cross. And Jesus said, "It is finished, it is finished." God is inviting you to come to Him. Run to the cross of Jesus Christ. Turn away from your sin. Umalis ka na sa Lodebar, go to the King. He will restore you. He will protect you. And He will remove your guilt, shame, and fear. He will give you rest. He will give you ng peace. Go to your King Jesus. He is mighty to save you. And He's able to restore you. And magkakaroon ka ng loving relationship with the King of Kings. You will eat at the table of the King. Always. Sabi ni David, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always." Mephibosheth is considered enemy because of the blood of Saul sa kanyang mga ugat. But the blood of Jonathan is more precious than the blood of King David. Enemy. The blood of Jonathan ay ang nag-cover ng lahat ng naging bunga ng kasalanan ni Saul. King David restored him, provided his needs, accepted him, extended his chesed to Mephibosheth. All because his sin is the blood of Jonathan. For the sake of your father, Jonathan. The blood of Adam ay nasa ating mga ugat. But if you have the blood of Christ, His blood is stronger, strong enough to wipe away your sin. Dahil kay Adam, tayo lahat ay namatay sa kasalanan. Dahil kay Adam, we are partaker ng kasalanan. But dahil kay Christ, tayo ay may buhay na walang hanggan. Sabi sa 1 Corinthians 15:22, sapagkat kung paanong namamatay ang lahat dahil sa kanilang kaugnayan kay Adan, Gayon din naman, mabubuhay ang lahat dahil sa kanilang kaugnayan kay Kristo. Everything you need in this life and life to come ay nakay Christ. We have the perfect righteousness before God because of Jesus' perfect obedience. All of our sins are wiped away because of the blood of Christ. Our future is certain because Christ rose from the dead. Yan ating hope. There's no other hope. There's no other way. We are like Mephibosheth, just waiting for the sword of the king. This is the amazing love and grace ng Panginoon. It should bring us down to our knees in humility and worship. Agay ng ginawa ni Mephibosheth sa verse 8. Look at verse 8. And he paid homage and said, "What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?" Nung binabasa ko po ito, medyo nano kasi mahilig po ako sa dog. Meron kaming dog and bakit dog ang ginamit na ano rito? Pwede namang ibahin na lang. At di na lang camel. May camel naman nung time na yon. Nahasaktan ako kasi I love dogs. Isa sa pinaka-worst thing na tawagin ng isang tao sa time na yan sa Israel ay ang tawagin kang dog. Dahil ang dog dito ay hindi pet. Hindi ito katabi nating matulog. Ito ay scavenger, marumi. Maruming hayop ito. Ito ay insulto sa kanila pag tinawag kang dog. But to call yourself a dead dog, napakababa na po nun. Wala na sigurong maisip si Mephibosheth na pinakamababa pa dun na pwede niyang gamiting word. Dahil Mephibosheth is so overwhelmed sa hesed ni David, sa loving kindness ni David. Mephibosheth understand na wala siyang pwedeng ibagay sa king. He understand na he cannot even serve the king sa anumang paraan. Hindi siya pwedeng maging soldier, hindi siya... Wala siyang magagawa. Walang kailangan ng king sa kanya. He knows na habang buhay na siya ay magiging receiver ng kindness ni David. Habang buhay ay isa-serve lang siya ng king. Pero dumating ka na ba sa point na yan? Na you realize na you have nothing to give sa Panginoon para ikaw ay makapasok sa kingdom, to stand before God. Friends, unless you come to the end of yourself, unless na dumating ka sa punto na ikaw ay parang isang dead dog, dun mo lang mararanasan ang loving kindness ng Panginoon. Na all you can say is, yung kinakanta natin, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Only then, ma-appreciate natin. Only then, mararanasan natin ang hesed, ang amazing love, amazing grace ng Panginoon. If you still think that you have something to offer sa King to grant you access sa kingdom, na hindi ka kasing sama ng condition ni Mephibosheth, you are just like Adam and Eve sa garden, trying to cover themselves with the fig leaves. It won't work. Hindi po gagana yun. It won't cover your shame, your fear. Turn away from your pride. Turn away from your self-righteousness. Run to the King. Only by the grace of the King na ikaw ay magkaroon ng transformation, restoration, salvation. Mga kapatid sa Panginoon, ganito pa rin ba ang puso natin sa Panginoon? Nung unang naintindihan natin ang gospel of grace, tayo ay sobrang humble, sobrang, Panginoon, pinupuri natin ang Panginoon. Tayo ay sobrang dependent sa Panginoon. But as years goes by, we become so familiar sa grace and mercy ng Panginoon. We are so used to it na we lost yung humility. We started to take it for granted? Nagsimula na na na-assume na natin ang grace and mercy ng Panginoon? And we demand it? We treat it na parang obligasyon ng Diyos na pakitaan ako ng grace and mercy. And then pag hindi natin nakuha, we raise our fist against God. We complain sa Panginoon. We started to doubt ang love ng Panginoon. Lord, hindi mo yata talaga ako ganung kamahal. We say to God, it's unfair. The moment na you think you na God owes you mercy, that God owes you ng grace, you have to think again. You lost ang meaning nito. Dapat ka ng mangamba dahil pride and sin is crouching at your door sa puso mo, ready to devour you. May people should receive everything abundantly by the grace and grace alone ng King. And makikita natin yun sa verses 9 and 10. The King provided everything he needed in this life. That time, ang land is sign ng power. Ang laki ng land na binigay, ang land ni Saul, dating hari. Meron siyang 35 servants. Merong 15 na anak and 22 servants si Ziba. And Ziba is a powerful man. Lahat yon na kay Mephibosheth. Binigay sa kanya yung power. He is from nowhere, from a shameful condition. Ni-restore siya. Lahat ng pangangailangan niya provided by the King. But David gives him the ultimate kindness that he could ever have. I hope ganun din tayo. Huwag tayong mag-settle sa ganun. Dahil merong ultimate kindness na gusto ibigay sa atin ng Diyos. And that leads sa aking point number 3. By grace, enemies become children of God. Verses 11 to 13. King David provided ang lahat ng needs ni Mephibosheth, pero here comes the best part. Look at the second part ng verse 11. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's son. Four times dito sa passage na binanggit ni Mephibosheth ay binigyan ng place sa table ng king. Ito ay hindi house arrest para ma-monitor si Mephibosheth. Hindi ito para makakain si Mephibosheth ng masasarap na pagkain dahil binigyan na nga siya ni David ng malaking land na he can mabuhay siya. And it's not about food. Hindi siya temporary guest lang sa table. Ang sabi sa passage, always like one of the king's son. Ito ay undeserved favor. Ito ay grace ng Panginoon. Ito ay loving kindness ng Panginoon. Ito ang ultimate na pangako ng gospel. Sabi sa John 1:12, but to all who did receive Him, who believe in His name, that is Jesus, He gave the right to become children of God. Friends, ang blessing ng gospel ay hindi natapos sa forgiveness. Hindi natapos sa justification. Hindi tinapos ni David ang loving kindness niya kay Mephibosheth by accepting him, by protecting him, by providing ang kanyang needs. David gives him more. David gave Mephibosheth a permanent place sa table ng king. He adopted his enemy. Mephibosheth is now a member ng royal family. And in verse 12, ito na yung katuparan ng promise din ni David kay Jonathan not to cut off his family from Micah. Nagpatuloy ang lineage ni Jonathan dito. Mababasa nyo sa First Chronicles. And we end sa verse 13. Medyo parang awkward yung ending. Ano? Gusto ko nang tapusin sa 11 para smile na ang lahat eh. And sabi sa verse 13, so Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet. Medyo awkward, medyo, bakit? But inulit na naman na siya ay lame in both his feet. Merong reason why this passage and this way. Now he was lame in both his feet. Friends, we are still here sa fallen world natin, sa condition na to. We are still in the fallen body natin. we still struggle sa sin. Every time we see na we are crippled, the more we hold sa grace ng Panginoon. And the more we see how amazing ang grace ng Panginoon, every time na you feel condemned dahil sa sin, remind yourself na ang table of grace ng King will cover your feet. The more you see ang brokenness ng mundo na ito dahil sa kasalanan, the more you long to be with the forever King, Jesus, in the new heavens and the new earth. But until that day, mananatili pa rin tayo sa kalagayan na ito, sa fallen world. Let us live with the hope of the gospel. Let's continue to be dependent on the amazing grace and mercy of God. Kung ikaw ay andito ngayon at alam mo na wala kang relasyon sa Panginoong Jesus, ikaw ay nasa terrifying situation. You are at war with the King. Ito ay war na you can never win. I urge you, I beg to you, consider mo ang narinig mong gospel. God is offering you ng peace, reconciliation. Apart from Jesus Christ, God can never love you. Repent from your sin, turn away from your rebellion against God. Run to the King Jesus. He is mighty to restore you and save you sa iyong mga kasalanan because He Himself bore all your sin on the cross. Run to Him. Mga kapatid sa Panginoon, alam natin ang pakiramdam ng kasalanan. We know when we disobey Christ, we feel yung sorrow over sin. Nararamdaman natin yung conviction. That's grace ng Panginoon. And God discipline us. But on the day we put our faith in Christ for our salvation, never, ever na ang Diyos will be at war with us again. When Christ reconciled us to the Father, war is over. Nothing can separate us sa loving kindness ng ating Panginoon because of Christ. I hope as we sing yung last song, makikita natin ang ating sarili. How undeserving we are sa harapan ng Diyos. And wala sa ating nakita ang Diyos upang tayo ipakita ng Kanyang steadfast love. God's amazing grace is not for amazing people, but for fallen people who don't deserve it. Let's pray. Oh, Father, oh God, You are so gracious, You are so merciful. Oh, Father, bring us to our knee like Mephibosheth, oh God. Help us to see how undeserving we are, how glorious Your grace, how amazing Your grace, God. Oh Father, oh God, kung kami naman, kami ay hanggang ngayon ay nasa rebellion sa Iyo, tumatakbo palayo sa Iyo, nagtatago sa Iyo, Panginoon. May this give us hope, oh God, that the loving King is calling us to His kingdom. Lord, help us. Help us to treasure our King, Jesus. And help us to turn away sa aming kasalanan. And help us to be amazed by Your grace every moment na aming life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.